Thanks, Jacob. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. Hope everything's going well. I'd like to also mention and say hello to everyone that's watching on the webcast. Brethren, we live in a society that's basically turned its back on God. It's a society that it's war-torn. There's war everywhere. Society, like I said, has turned their back on God. There's strife, conflict, lying, cheating. We have to live in this world. We have to live in this world. So we're going to talk about conflict, brethren. Conflict and how to handle it. Conflict and how to handle it. You know, we've heard it before, but if you turn to Romans 12 and verse 18, we're reminded that if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is hard to do, isn't it? But yet it's commanded. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know, this command of God's word, it's no small order. No small order, especially for us trying to live the way that Jesus taught. The Christian life is often punctuated with sharp clashes and conflicts, you know, such as Sabbath employment problems. You know, we all have those. How about school schedules versus the holy days? It's tough to, you know, get your kids out of school and not have any problems. You know, explaining the different tithes. You know, the list is long. It's very long. Conflict, real or potential, is very much meshed into our lives as we struggle to disengage ourselves from this evil, war-torn, present world that we live in today. The fact is that Christians are promised trouble. And it comes with the territory, you might say. You know, it's a required course. So how then can we fulfill Romans 12 and verse 18? How can we fulfill Romans 12, 18? And remember, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Well, God in the treasure chest has his precious word, unlocks piercing insights into human behavior. Strategy that, when applied, steers a Christian through conflict. Brethren, we must rely on God. We must rely on God. Yet, you know, we need to note this fact that learning to handle or reduce conflict requires major changes in mental and emotional approaches over a period of time. No cure-alls lie hidden in the Word of God. Rather, the challenge is to search out and apply living laws of human relations to those willing to pay the price. The living Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace himself, promises overall success in resolving life's thorny situations. So today, let's examine these five different important keys to conflict resolution. We're going to cover five different keys. Now we're going to cover these, so if you don't get them right now, we will go through them. But the first key is strive for a balanced, realistic approach to life. Strive for a balanced, realistic approach to life. The second key that we will go over is accept your responsibility. Accept your responsibility. Number three, don't be oversensitive. Don't be oversensitive. The fourth key is see the other person's point of view. See the other person's point of view. And number five is don't waste time on revenge. Don't waste time on revenge. So moving into the first key, strive for a balanced, realistic approach to life. You know, this is a broad but vital area. You know, even carnal human beings who make a sincere effort to overcome selfishness and immaturity find a payoff. You know, these are the real achievers in society. So what is a balanced view of reality? What is a balanced view of reality? If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it defines it. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. It states, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." What childish things must we put away before we can reach maturity? Well, let's think about this. You've got a sweet, gentle infant. And believe it or not, they're sometimes demanding. I know it's hard to believe, but they are sometimes demanding. You know, they don't lie in their cribs at night thinking, you know, I'm hungry, but it's 3 a.m. Daddy's had a hard day at work. If I cry out, I might wake my brothers and my sisters, and mommy will miss some sleep. You know, we don't expect mature reactions from small children. You know, personal growth means rejecting the selfish, inconsiderate responses of childhood and developing an approach characterized more by consideration or feelings for others. An accommodating attitude, a willingness to wait and suffer inconvenience, a non-dictatorial expression of basic needs. This is progress. This is progress. This is transforming the reactions of get by the strategy of give. And you know, we were taught that years ago by Mr. Armstrong. He always taught the give way of life. And that's the way we should be living. You know, it's sad to say that many people out there do not outgrow the childish reactions and responses. Only a handful achieve responsible adulthood. Immaturity is costly. You know, sooner or later, we all are prevented from accomplishing our purpose. Our purpose of desires and lawful or unlawful. Selfish disillusionment sets in. A hardness forms within us. Look at Hebrews 3 and verse 13. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So we are to encourage one another. You know, pay attention to the needs of others. The beautiful childlike attitudes of innocence, trust, and then wonder will wither. All because, to one degree or another, we selfishly felt let down by life or how we felt our lives should go. You know, since our lives revolve so much around selfish gratification, we are ripe for absorbing satanic spirit. So we can't let down. We can't let ourselves down. We have to be on guard at all times. Because this is how bitterness starts. Continual defeats and disillusionments crush the basic optimism of the human spirit. The world is harsher, more disgraceful, you know, than we can even imagine. And good guys don't always win. Look at Ecclesiastes 8, verse 14. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 14. There is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. You know, it seems like the rip-off society wins, and it triumphs. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. He enjoyed a balanced view of reality, a truly matured look. And if we notice Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12, we see that, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with him that fear God. How true this is. You know, this perspective of life rallies our sometimes sagging zeal to fight on in the face of anguish and seeming futility. Some people are single parents. Some are married to alcoholics, some more than loved ones, lost in unexpected tragedies. How easy to feel that life has dealt you a raw deal. That dealt a raw deal, and that you've fallen into a what's the use attitude. Yet God counsels, Proverbs 23:18, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Your hope will not be cut off. God's word is emphatic. Every human being will give an account of his physical life. So that's another reason that we have to constantly monitor ourselves, watch what we do, and stick close to God. So we must take heart, you know, amidst life's difficulties. Conflicts and trials force us back to God. Force us back to God to learn wisdom, vision, determination, and faith. They refine our sometimes flawed and unsteady character. You know, learning to handle conflict is a vital part, and it's a vital facet of our character. And the lessons we'll learn will have for all eternity. Moving on to key number two, accept your responsibility. Accept your responsibility. And we've all heard this, but it's all the other person's fault. Or, I didn't do a thing. I'm dealing with a hopeless case. And we've all heard these. We've all heard this. In cases of alcoholism, wife beating, sexual abuse, major fault usually lies on one side. And such troublemakers, you know, have an amazing ability to make the others feel guilty. To make the others feel guilty. Well, God clearly condemns the incorrigible. We look at Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, it says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, there is no peace, says my God.